Nebuchadnezzar's second year as a king. He had dreams that bothered him and kept him awake at night. So the king called for his fortune tellers, magicians, wizards, and wise men, because he wanted to tell them that he had had a dream. And thus they all came and stood before their king. The king then said to them, "I had a dream that bothers me. I want to know what it means." The wise men answered the king in the Aramaic language, "O king, live forever. Please tell us, your servants, your dream. Then we will tell you what it means." King Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "I meant what I said. You must tell me the dream and what it means. If you don't, I will have you torn in parts, and I will turn your houses into piles of stone. But if you will tell me my dream and its meaning, I will reward you with gifts and honor. So tell me my dream and what it means." Again the wise men said to the king, "Tell us, your servants, the dream, and we will tell you what it means." King Nebuchadnezzar answered, "I know you are trying to get more time because you know that I meant what I said. If you do not tell me my dream, you will be punished. You have all agreed to tell me lies and wicked things, hoping things will change. Now, tell me my dream, so that I know you can tell me what it really means." The wise men answered the king, saying, "No one on earth can do what the king asks. No great and powerful king has ever asked the fortune tellers, magicians, or wise men to do such a thing. The king is asking us something that is impossible. Only the gods could tell the king this. But the gods do not live among people."
Once upon a time, there was a good Christian lady who lived next door to an atheist. And every day when the lady prayed, the atheist could hear her praying. And so the atheist thought to himself, "You know, this lady is wasting her time praying to God to a God who doesn't exist." On a number of occasions while she was praying, the atheist would actually go to her house and harass her, saying, "Lady, why do you pray all the time to a God who doesn't exist?" But that didn't stop her. She kept on praying. One day she ran out of groceries. As usual, she prayed to the Lord, explaining her situation and thanking the Lord for what he was going to do. As usual, the atheist heard her praying and came up with an idea to trick her into thinking God would answer her prayer. So the atheist went to the grocery store and bought a whole bunch of groceries. And he took them to her house and dropped them off on the front porch, rang the doorbell, and then hid in the bushes to see her reaction. When she opened the door and saw the groceries, she began praising God and thanking him for all the groceries. And the atheist then jumped out from behind the bushes and shouted at her, "Lady, God didn't buy those groceries for you. I bought those groceries." And when the lady heard that, she couldn't contain herself. She was crying and singing and praising God even more. And the atheist finally asked her what her problem was. She said, "I knew the Lord would provide me with some groceries. I just didn't know he was going to make the devil pay for it." Prayer is a huge faith builder for me, and I would assume it is for you. Especially when you pray with some specificity. You know, when you pray in generalities like, "Lord, please help this person," or "Lord, help me today to do my best," I mean, you tend not to really know when he answers your prayer. But when you pray for God to do something specific, you know, like, "Please help me find a solution to this problem, you know, before Saturday," or something like that, then you know when it's answered. When we think about prayer, we often think about what Jesus said. instead, you know, going to some private place to pray. And we know from the criticisms Jesus leveled on the Pharisees in regard to the way they prayed, because they were more interested in making a big show for their own benefit. So we tend to think about prayer as being, you know, mainly a personal matter between you and God. But ironically, you know, prayer can be a very powerful witness to others. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, Connor read for us, God revealed what was going to occur in the future in a dream to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And the king, you know, didn't understand what the dream meant. And so he commanded his magicians to come and interpret it for him. And, you know, his magicians said, well, okay, tell us what the dream is and we'll interpret it for you. But, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was a little smarter than that. He knew that if he told them the dream, that they could easily make up any story as an interpretation. But if they could tell him what the dream was, then he knew that they would be able to correctly interpret the dream. But, you know, as you heard in the reading, all the magicians told the king, there isn't a man on earth who can do what you're asking. You know, only the gods can do that. So King Nebuchadnezzar, in a fit of anger, commanded that all the wise men of Babylon to be put to death. So Daniel and his friends were considered wise men and were serving in Nebuchadnezzar's administration. So when the captain of the king's guard came to get Daniel and his friends to put them to death, you know, Daniel said, you know, what's going on? And, you know, Daniel asked, you know, what has prompted the king to issue this command? And the captain of the king's guard explained what was going on, and so Daniel went to the king and asked for an appointment so that he might interpret the king's dream for him. So Daniel then went back home. After he did that, he went back home and he told his three colleagues, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, what happened, and asked them to join him in prayer to seek an answer from God in regard to Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel, you know, didn't just keep this to himself. You know, he invited his friends to pray about it also. Of course, that doesn't mean one person's prayer is not effective. But when more people are praying for the same thing, I mean, it certainly can't hurt, right? In Acts 4, an example, in Acts 4, when Peter and John were released from prison, they went to their friends, and they began praying together for more boldness, and it reads in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So that tells you that there's power in numbers. And Daniel apparently knew that. Now, I want you to think for just a second about the timeline here. You know, Daniel asked for an opportunity. He went to the king and asked for an opportunity to interpret the dream. And then he went to his friends and they began praying for an interpretation. I mean, that does take some faith, does it not? You know, Daniel trusted that God would reveal it to him. Now, granted, you know, he had nothing to lose here. I mean, he and his companions were scheduled to be put to death, so asking the king for an opportunity to interpret the dream would certainly delay for a day or two, at least, their execution. But he obviously was putting a great deal of faith and trust in God, and at least wanted an opportunity to appeal to God. So Daniel then approached his colleagues and he said, I need you to pray also about this. And in chapter 2, verse 18, it says he told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his companions would not be killed. So it infers here that they prayed to God. It doesn't say for how long or how many times, but probably it wasn't very long. These four men prayed that God would reveal the answer to the king's dream, and God did not disappoint. Daniel 2:19, it reads, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. So the Lord heard the prayers of Daniel and his colleagues, and the request was granted. The prayers were heard, and the prayers were answered. And Daniel responded to that by thanking and praising God. Here's his response in Daniel 2, verses 20 through 23. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. When you pray, and your prayers are answered, do you thank and praise God? Remember the narrative of the 10 lepers in Luke 17. All 10 lepers were healed, but only one of the 10 returned to thank Jesus. And he wasn't even a Jew, he was a Samaritan. And Jesus' response was, is this Samaritan the only one who came back to thank God? So apparently the absence of an expression of gratitude was deemed rather inappropriate by Jesus. And as you all know, expressing thanks and showing gratitude is just being courteous. You know, I recommend that you make a habit of that. If you don't thank and praise God, when your prayers are answered or for other things, I think there's a danger that you begin to take God for granted. You know, he's not like a vending machine where you can just put in your coins or swipe your card and out comes your treat. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. We're often quick to lament and complain when he doesn't give us that for which we ask, but are we as quick to thank and praise him when he does? I've been praising God all week. Here's why. And thanking him. I spent a number of hours this week on the phone with Apple texting. I know some of the rest of you have done that too. Trying to figure out why my laptop computer would no longer browse the internet. It said my browser was updating and that I wasn't able to use it right then. I thought, the first time that happened, I thought, okay. Yeah. I tried a few hours later, same thing. I tried the next day, same thing, so I knew something was wrong. So after a 2.5-hour conversation with Zachary, with Apple tech support in Toronto, Canada, he couldn't figure out what the problem was. So he told me that he would send the information to the engineers, and they would either do one of two things. They would either fix the problem, or they would give me a new computer. So he called me back a few days later and said, the engineers want your computer. And Apple is going to give you a new one to replace it. So I'm going to receive a brand new laptop computer from Apple, and I have been thanking God and praising God all week because, to be honest, I absolutely convinced that God had a hand. So after Daniel praised and gave thanks to God for revealing the interpretation of the dream to Daniel, he went to the captain of the guard, asked to see the king so that he could interpret the king's dream for him. When Daniel came before the king asked him, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel's response in chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, couldn't have been more perfect. He answered, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Those two verses are significant. First of all, Daniel credits the God of heaven to Nebuchadnezzar for revealing the mystery. He gives the honor to God. And this was said to a king who believes in all kinds of gods. So Daniel was basically witnessing his faith to King Nebuchadnezzar at a time when mean, his life is in jeopardy. And secondly, Daniel didn't say, I prayed for God to make the dream known to me. He said, God has revealed the mystery to the king. That's what he told Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel, he didn't even say he prayed. You know, I get that. I mean, it's inferred, but Daniel was not promoting himself. Daniel could have taken advantage of the situation for himself by saying, hey, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar, you don't know how lucky you are. That God, I prayed to God for you, he revealed the answer to me, and so now you see how special I am. I mean, Daniel didn't go there. Daniel sought no praise or credit for himself. He gave all the credit to God. Daniel said, God has revealed this mystery to you, O king. So in other words, Daniel makes sure the king knows that God was intent on helping the king. You know, I sometimes seek credit for myself when good things happen. You know, when someone is healed from an illness, worried about a doctor appointment, got a good report, we're often quick to say, well, I was praying for you about that. Hoping that maybe I'll get a little credit. All the credit and praise belong to God. Because prayers are absolutely worthless without God. Deuteronomy 6:10 beginning. God wanted to remind the Israelites through Moses, he warned the people of Israel that when they entered the promised land to live in cities they didn't build, houses full of good things they didn't fill, cisterns they didn't dig, vineyards they didn't plant. God is the source of all good things. All things are possible for him. So Daniel explained first what the king saw in his dream. Of course, that gave Daniel instant credibility. Daniel then proceeded to explain the interpretation of the dream. And what I want you to notice here is the king's response. Daniel 2, verse 46. After Daniel interpreted the dream, it reads, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel, and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. So the king understood, based on what Daniel told him, that Daniel's God was the one who revealed the mystery of the dream. Because Daniel had sought the answer from his God. And he expressed that to Nebuchadnezzar back in verse 28. Daniel said, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. So the fact is, Daniel was able to reveal the mystery of Nebuchadnezzar because God revealed it. There are two points I'd just like for you to consider this morning. Point number one, Daniel was able because God was able. And the connecting point was prayer. If you're frustrated that life isn't going your way, how's your prayer life? In May of 1996, Value Jet Flight 592 crashed into the Florida Everglades. You might remember that, killing 110 passengers. To determine the cause of the crash, the National Transportation Safety Board needed the plane's black box. And of course, that was going to be very difficult to find. The crash had scattered plane debris across a large area of the swamp. Dozens of searchers descended on the scene to search through the muck and water as much as 8 feet deep, not to mention the alligators. Just in an attempt to find the black box. And Navy experts tried using special technology that I guess the detectives submerged in metal. And that didn't work. So holding a rope that kept them spaced 3 feet apart, other searchers systematically walked and poked through every square foot of the crashed area. And after 2 weeks, they didn't find the black box. And just the conditions at that time, you know, were pretty unbearable. I mean, the Florida sun beat upon them, the temperatures hovered in the 90s. Because there was so much much spilled diesel fuel and hydraulic fluid from the wrecked plane floating in the water all over the place, forcing the searchers had to wear several layers. Now, this is 90-degree heat, high humidity. They had to wear several layers of protective rubber and latex despite that. And 2 weeks of that had left a lot of the searchers dehydrated, but they had to find out. Sergeant Felix Jimenez of the Metro Bay Police was one of the searchers. And for 14 days, he said, he prayed for the families, the bereaved families, the safety of his fellow workers. But on the 15th day, they took a break. And it hit him, you know, that he had failed to pray for one important thing, that God would help them find the Black Hawk. So he asked God for that. He asked God for direction. They resumed the search, and when he stuck his pole into the water, he hit something with metallic. And he pulled the object out of the muck, and it was the Black Hawk. And he wrote about this in Guidepost Magazine. Wrote, at the end of the day, I thought of the many days we had spent searching for the recorder, how we must have tromped over it many times, and I wondered why its retrieval had taken so long. And he said, amid the low rustle of the grass and the fall of the great white deer, I seemed to hear the response, why did it take you so long, I guess? There's the difference between able and not able, between success and failure. Point number one is Daniel was able because God is able. Point number two, prayer is also a witness to others. When you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, that's a witness. You know, and by the way, don't forget to do that. I'm sure all of you have non-Christian friends and co-workers. When they share with you about a problem in their life, you might offer to pray about it. They don't already know that, but when God answers your prayer for them, that will be a very powerful witness. You don't even have to brag that you were praying about it, you know? They'll know. They'll know. You know, eventually, if you continue reading Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar became a believer. And we'll see that a little bit later. Remember, give all the glory to God, because our purpose is to be a witness for God, not for ourselves. Don't let your friends think that because of your prayer, things worked out. Make sure they know that it was because of God who answers prayer. Answered prayer without question strengthens my faith. I hope it does yours. It can be a very powerful witness to your friends and acquaintances. So Daniel was able to interpret this dream because he relied on God, who was able to give him the interpretation. He witnessed to King Nebuchadnezzar through prayer. He sought no glory for himself. He wanted all the glory to go to God. And what resulted was the sparing of the lives of Daniel and his three companions, not to mention each of the other astrologers and wise men of that world. What also resulted was Nebuchadnezzar's knowledge of Daniel. Daniel ended up being honored by the king, promoted to a much higher position in the kingdom, as did his companions, but he wasn't seeking that. He was just hoping God would spare their lives. God did a whole lot more than that. It all began with prayer. This morning, if you want to be able to gain eternal life, come to the God who's able to grant it. If you want to be able to have your sins forgiven, come to the God who's able to forgive. If you want to be able to overcome serious crisis in your life, come and let us pray